Coming up on the show, we've got a good one for you. Mark Janes, he is the play-by-play voice of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network in the Indianapolis 500. And we will talk with Mark about the greatest spectacle in racing, the 101st edition of the Great Race coming up on Sunday. Also, Chris Liss of RotoWire.com to answer your fantasy baseball questions, your fantasy sports questions. We will do that on the program here today as well. Your chance before 7 o'clock to win $100 a day in the month of May. We're giving away $100 each weekday of the month of May, with the exception of next Monday, Memorial Day. That with the help of Toyota of Iowa City. We'll do that sometime between now and 7 o'clock tonight. Also a chance for you to pick up a couple of free rounds of golf to the City of Cedar Rapids golf courses, plus two sleeves of golf balls. We'll have that for you before 4 o'clock here today. News of the day and a whole lot more. It's Gym Class coming your way here at KGYM. I think we need the sun to come out tomorrow. It sounds like awful Annie-like opening there. We welcome you to the program here today. 3:05. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes. Wednesday edition of the Gym Class getting set to come your way. Taking you through the 3 o'clock hour right here on KGYM. Big Ten baseball tournament underway in Bloomington, Indiana. Hawks scheduled to take on Maryland coming up tonight. We'll tell you about that. Preseason Big Ten football teams from Athlons. We knew the Big 12 a couple days ago. Now we know the Big Ten, at least in the eyes of the folks that compile that preseason magazine. So we'll talk about that coming up here in a little bit. Go over afternoon baseball, including minor league baseball. And I don't think anybody except school kids were happy at Vet Stadium today, the way it was sounding there with Jeff Johnson tweeting from the Cedar Rapids Gazette, who covers the Colonels out there. We had a first today. Tommy Watkins giving the heave-ho for the first time in his managerial career. Did not take long either. Bottom of the first inning, and Tommy got to see the rest of the game from elsewhere. Actually, Jeff Johnson tweeting he was up in the press box. It was a strange day out at the ballpark, and Clinton, it's just gone final. Clinton gets the victory 3-2.
Yeah, Clinton scoring on a double play grounder, and the runner was ruled safe at first base. But Colonels go down this afternoon in another Midwest League baseball game. You mentioned the Big Ten tournament, Iowa and Maryland tonight. One final in the books there. Minnesota has defeated Indiana 5-4. That was the first game of the day. Right now, Michigan taking on Northwestern, and the Wolverines hanging on to a 4-3 lead in that one.
In front of friends and family in Bloomington. It's there are about 20 people in the stands, and it looks cold. I don't know what the temperature is in Bloomington right now. Better be a whole lot warmer this weekend in Indiana. I know that, but right now it doesn't look real awe-inspiring over there. But Indiana, they played earlier and lost in their first game of the double elimination tournament over there. They are hosting this year, and the Hoosiers fell in their first game.
Yeah, that final 5-4, as mentioned. And you mentioned the all Big Ten teams put out by Athlon. It's that time of year, folks. And
thank goodness.
Take it for what it's worth. Josie Jewell, senior linebacker, and offensive lineman Sean Welsh, also a senior, been named to the first team by Athlon Sports. That announcement made today. Second teamers include running back Akram Wadley and center James Daniels. On the third team, defensive end Anthony Nelson. And fourth team, Scott, wide receiver Matt Vandenberg, who's coming back from injury, offensive lineman Boone Myers, defensive lineman Nathan Budgeta, linebacker Ben Neiman, and defensive back Manny Rugumba.
Fourth team.
Those are fourth teamers, yes.
All right. By the way, Northwestern is rallying in the ninth, down 4-3. They've got first and third, nobody out against the Michigan Wolverines, as Iowa will take on Maryland tonight. That's at the Big Ten baseball tournament. Other news items, you mentioned the Big Ten preseason magazine there for Athlons. That has been released. Also, as far as college basketball is concerned from the Big Ten, the games announced of the Gavitt Games, the third annual Gavitt Games. They pit the Big Ten versus the Big East. Iowa has played Marquette. And then last year, Hawkeyes had to play Seton Hall. Fun game down in Iowa City. Won't see it this year because Iowa is not a part of the Big Ten contingent to play in the Gavitt Games. So Iowa will not be facing a Big East team, at least in that particular tournament anyway.
True. Matchups include Monday, November 13th, Minnesota at Providence. Tuesday, the November 14th, Purdue, which might be very, very good this coming year, will play at Marquette. Wednesday, tripleheader, Butler at Maryland, Creighton at Northwestern, Indiana at Seton Hall. Thursday the 16th, Nebraska at St. John's, Xavier at Wisconsin, and rounding out the games, Friday, November 17th, DePaul at Illinois.
Xavier, Wisconsin's going to be really good. Mm-hmm. Although Wisconsin with a lot of losses, but hey, have we said that before for a Wisconsin basketball team?
Frequently.
And what happens usually? They finish in the top three or four of the Big Ten Conference, so... some good games right there in the Gavitt Games. Also, college basketball news today. Third straight year that Ben Jacobson has picked up a Kirkwood Eagle, as Maya Wensing is going to be playing for UNI next year, going from Kirkwood to UNI. The former Fort Madison Bloodhound All-Stater and averaged double figures for Kirkwood, right around 12, 13 points per game, and he's going to be headed up to Cedar Falls, 6'3". Player to help out on the perimeter for Ben Jacobson and company. So I think a pretty good get right there. Very athletic young man, good slasher, shoot a little bit from the outside. I think he's going to help UNI basketball.
Indeed. Afternoon baseball this afternoon. Minnesota has defeated Baltimore, sweeping that series at Camden Yards.
Jose Berrios. My bad. Not bad. I'm still getting used to it.
Wins his third game despite giving up three solo home runs. Twins scored four early and then held off the Orioles. Toronto, its final now, has beaten Milwaukee 8-4. That should help the Cardinals and the Cubs. Oakland, in the end of the second, beating Miami 2-0. Scott's Chicago White Sox up 1-0 on Arizona in the bottom of the second. Everything else getting underway. The first one in about an hour.
Yeah, we'll keep you updated on how that is progressing. Speaking of college basketball, we're starting to get the backtracking now from some of the folks that had entered the NBA draft early. Blewett of Xavier coming back, announced last night. Louisville got a player to come back. Michigan, Mo Wagner will be coming back for the Wolverines, but DJ Wilson is not going to be coming back for Michigan. So the Wolverines will lose three starters off their team. Zach Irvin as well, one of the guys that will not be back, of course, for Michigan. Still have no word yet on Biggie from Purdue, Caleb Swanigan, if he's going to be coming back next year. Because like you said, Isaac Haas coming back, if Swanigan comes back with what Purdue has coming back and what they're bringing in, you could see Michigan State and Purdue, like I said yesterday, both in the top five, maybe even the top three of the country going into next year's basketball season.
No question. Swanigan's going to be a game changer in the Big Ten based on his decision. I don't think there's much question about that.
He wouldn't come back, though, would he?
Huh?
What more does he have to prove?
I don't know.
Other than
I would doubt he comes back.
They won the Big Ten championship last year. Other than winning a national championship, what more can he go for unless he's that tight with his teammates? And if he is, great for him. I think it's fantastic. But we'll see. We shall see on that. 319-366-1600 if you'd like to comment on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. Love to hear from you out there. Again, that's 319-366-1600.
Poll question today at KGYMradio.com. We talked yesterday about rule changes in the NFL. Today's question is, do you favor said NFL rule changes? Four options. Celebrations, yes. Overtime, no. Overtime, yes. Celebrations, no. yes to both or no to both. Thanks to Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's.
Yep, and we'll keep you updated on that poll throughout the day here on KGYM. Despite the fact that everyone thinks that LeBron James didn't help at all, Cleveland is one game away from the inevitable, what we knew back at November, it was going to be Cleveland and Golden State in the NBA Finals. So that is in the offing. Stanley Cup Game 7 coming up between Pittsburgh and Ottawa. Find out who takes on Nashville, and we'll have coverage of the Stanley Cup for you right here on KGYM from Westwood One. Mm. All right, 15 past the hour. We're going to take a break, come back. When we return, we're going to talk Indy 500 with the voice of the 500, Mark James, and we'll do that when we come back. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class right here on KGYM.
Play the greens and save some green now at St. Andrews Golf Club. Monday through Friday before 1 and after 5, ride 18 holes for $23. Bring your juniors with you because kids 12 and under play free anytime Monday through Friday. And on weekday evenings, take in a relaxing 18 holes with a cart for just $23 too. Only at St. Andrews Golf Club, 1866 Blair's Ferry Road Northeast in Cedar Rapids. All items subject to sales tax, special prices for walk-ins only, not scheduled outings.
My number two does not look like a number two. I don't know what to call it. Is there a number three?
Table for four, please. Anything close to the restroom.
Ugh, a middle seat with these stomach problems? That's my fear of flying.
Sound like you? If it does, you could be one of the many people with a digestive condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. Even if you don't know what EPI is, you might know the symptoms. Frequent diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain. If you have even just one of these symptoms, you could still have EPI, because not everybody experiences EPI the same way, which is why it's so important to open up to your doctor about all your symptoms. And the good news is, EPI is manageable, so don't keep a lid on it. Go to identifyepi.com, complete the symptom checker, and use it to have a conversation with your doctor. Don't keep a lid on it. Visit identifyepi.com, brought to you by AbbVie.
April showers bring May dollars. KGYM is giving you a chance to win cash each day in May with $100 a day in the month of May. Listen each day to Mike and Mike in the Morning for a phrase from the show. Then later on the Gym Class in the Todd Brommelkamp Show, we'll play that morning's phrase and caller number 6 will win $100. $100 a day in the month of May. Sponsored by Toyota of Iowa City. Right here on KGYM. You'll probably find them either on the golf course or at the bowling alley. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, the Gym Class on KGYM.
Back at 16 past the hour at 3 o'clock here on Wednesday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. And we got a rally of tremendous proportions going on in Bloomington, Indiana, the Big Ten baseball tournament. Northwestern has come from behind, and they have taken the lead in the ninth inning over the Michigan Wolverines. That is 5-4. Of course, Iowa will take on Maryland coming up later on tonight, and that is a first-round game. Double elimination tournament, of course, going on in Bloomington, Indiana. Also going on this weekend, of course, the 101st running of the Indianapolis 500 coming up on Sunday. You can catch it right here beginning at 10 o'clock in the morning. And the man that will be providing all the details and all the color and excitement, Mark James, the lead voice of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network, kind enough to join us here on the Gym Class. Mark, how you doing? How's everything going race week in Indianapolis? Well, we lost Mark. We're going to have to get him back on. I apologize. I had great, what a great opening there, and then we lost him. Two states away. We'll get him back on here. Alex, if you're in there, fly on in here. We'll get him back on. But we'll have the race for you coming up at 10 o'clock on Sunday, like we mentioned, right here on KGYM.
You're headed east, right?
I am. Looking forward to that. And I think I may have to give the number to Alex. Or maybe Mark's calling back. Don't you love live radio? By the way, we were at Lunchbox Heroes today. And that was over at Kenwood Park. We'll talk about that coming up here in just a little bit. Also, Mark's forced to watch Dancing with the Stars update. I know the world is waiting with bated breath in case you haven't heard who won. So,
final update of the season.
Absolutely. The final update of the season. That'll be coming up here in a little bit. All right. We've got Mark back on the line. He is the voice of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network and the Indy 500. Mark James joining us here from Indianapolis, or close to Indianapolis anyway, on this Wednesday. Mark, how you doing?
I'm doing well, and you are spot on. I actually, a couple of years ago, I moved about three blocks from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. I could walk to the pagoda in about 15 minutes.
Not near a Taco Bell, Mark.
No, but I know where to go and when at what time of night.
Yeah, it was unfortunate, certainly, and not a great capper to the day for Scott Dixon, but boy, was it a great Sunday for Scott Dixon as he gets the pole. I think the second best average as far as speed in the history behind the 237 that's probably never going to be challenged anyway, but what a day it was as far as qualifying.
I remember saying during our show when he came off of turn number four before he took the green, I said, let's see if the Iceman lives up to that moniker on this qualifying run. And he did indeed did just that. I mean, one of the things that I've enjoyed in watching him run over the past several years is the fact that even when maybe he doesn't have the car to win, when he's battling for a championship, he knows how to stay up front. He knows how to stay within the top five and pile up points, and he does so in an almost stealth-like fashion. There have been a lot of races, in fact, that he's won that he really wasn't even a factor, and then all of a sudden you look up and there he is at the end standing on the podium or the winner's platform, and I think this kind of fit that mold a little bit, to be honest with you. I don't know that anybody thought he was part of that conversation, but there he was nonetheless as the guy with a big check at the end of the day.
Mark, one guy I wanted to ask you about is the one starting inside second row, Fernando Alonso, coming over from Formula One. What does that mean, and what do you expect out of him in this race?
I don't know much about that. It hasn't been given much coverage.
We say that tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, almost stealth-like, you know, Fernando Alonso. I forgot he was here, as a matter of fact. I think it's huge. I think it reestablishes the Indianapolis 500 as the most significant race in the world. And you know, there are those that say, yeah, it's not that important to me, and I get that, and that may very well be true. But I know this. It is the only race, I think, that firmly changes the way you're introduced and written about. Maybe Daytona in NASCAR, but certainly the Indy 500 changes the way you're introduced, and it changes everything about your resume. And while I think that we're far enough past the split now with the benefit of the 100th, and some of the competitive racing that we've had the past couple of years, I think that it has reestablished itself as the most significant race in North America. But there's no question the addition of Alonso to the field this year, especially in the manner in which it happened. I mean, this totally fell out of the sky. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody really knew about it until just literally hours before it was announced. And let's face it, it's huge worldwide, and it has huge implications, and I think it gives everyone with IndyCar and IMS the bump that they were looking for to keep from having a fall off that they feared after the 100th. I'm not sure that it was going to be a big fall off, quite frankly, but this ensured that I think the interest worldwide stayed pretty level, and in some instances, in foreign markets, even went up a little bit from the 100.
Yeah, well, and if there's a question of Fernando Alonso, can he win? Yeah, you're darn right he can win this. I was there when Nigel Mansell did this in the early 90s and almost won the race in his first try.
Well, boys, I think we learned last year anybody could win this race.
Yes.
given the circumstances. I mean, you know, that's a very good point. He's with a team that knows how to win. He's a team that traditionally performs very well here. Clearly, he's an incredibly talented driver, and He's gotten up to speed, literally and figuratively, quickly. But I to see him in victory lane, I don't think would be a big surprise, and I don't think that it would, really be. Some might say, well, it doesn't make the rest of the Verizon IndyCar Series look very good if a guy can come in a one-off and win. Well, you know, I just don't agree with that assessment at all. I mean, I think we have the most multi-talented drivers in the world, and we just happen to have another one in the field this year in Fernando Alonso.
Well, you were going to talk about Alexander Rossi there, and of course, won it last year on fumes, kind of coasting across the start finish line. Anyway, wasn't coasting. He got a row one starting. He's going to be on the outside of row number one at 231, almost 231 and a half miles per hour. Just a terrific job, and kind of vindicating the fact that he was in victory lane last year in Indianapolis.
Well, I think he's done. He's done with that win being a novelty. I think he's been through the series now one time. I think he's ready to start competing for wins and championships on a regular basis. I think he's decided this is where he wants to be, and he's going to give it his all. And let's face it. I mean, he had got to win at Long Beach had he not had mechanical issues. He certainly would have had a podium there. He's been making the fire at least the top 12, if not the fast six, and qualifying on a regular basis. And I just think he's another one of those guys in an already stout field that makes it even stronger. And he's going to be a talent we're going to watch. We're going to enjoy watching for years to come, for sure.
Maybe one of the biggest storylines, anyway, that came out of the qualifying weekend was, I don't know if it was the struggle of Team Penske, but I think it was more, okay, we're not going to get the pole, so let's get ready for race weekend. Was that kind of your take on it, or are they struggling a little bit?
Well, I think they were struggling with qualifying for sure. And so then I think the mantra became, well, if power is the one that has the best chance of getting in the fast nine, we're going to focus on that and then try to get as far up as we can. But I'm hearing they found something. They made some adjustments, and I think Pagano, for one, he was maxed out on miles with a power plant, so he has a new Chevy engine. And he's got 15 or 16 baby Borgs parked in the headquarters in Charlotte. So they know a little bit about race strategy and things of that nature. That's a pretty solid foursome made even stronger by the addition of Juan Montoya. And there's no question any one of those guys can get to victory lane on race day.
Mark James joining us here at 3:26, voice of the Indianapolis 500 here on the Gym Class on KGYM. Dark horses for the race coming up. Who do you like, maybe, that hasn't been talked about a whole lot in the month of May?
J.R. Hildebrand is one, a guy that was a turn away from winning it a couple of years ago. He appears to have pretty good pace. I know he's running for Penske, but it's his first year, and I think Joseph Newgarden is a guy you can point to. I've just had a feeling all throughout the course of this month, and I know he made the fast nine, so I don't know if it's accurate to label him a dark horse, but I just got a good feeling about Marco Andretti. He's had a very efficient month. He's been strong. He's got Brian Hurt on his pit box now, so those are a couple of guys that I think might be able to step up and be near the front when we get to the last 20-25 laps or so.
You mentioned coming off the 100th and everything talked about with Alonso coming in. Hasn't been a lot of drop-off, even before Fernando Alonso was talked about and before he made his commitment to come race at Indianapolis. Still a lot of hype, and I think you can say that for the entire series, but especially for the 500.
Well, I think the president of Indianapolis Motor Speedway, Doug Bowles, is a master promoter. I mean, during the off-season this year, they added a holiday light display for the first time. People could actually drive out on portions of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway at night. And it was, I can't remember the name of the company, but they're one of the leading providers of holiday lighting displays. And I think the number of people that went through it topped 150,000 from November to the end of December. And those are people that you're getting to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway at a time of the year when they typically, you know, would not be there. And you know, you've got the Vintage Sports Car Association coming up in a couple of weeks at the Speedway. And I just think that Doug and his crew and the committee of 100 host committee that they formed a year ago continue to do some of their work, traveling around to cities and towns and meeting with Rotary clubs and on college campuses and things of that nature. I think they realize now that there's a battle for the entertainment dollar. You can't simply throw the gates open and expect people to show up. And they're doing some incredible promotion in conjunction with the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and they're doing it on a national and now international basis. And I think all of those things have combined, along with the recent success of the Verizon IndyCar Series, to reestablish, as we said, the Indianapolis 500 as the race of the world.
Wicked crash during qualifying, and we know Sebastian endured several injuries. What's his outlook?
A couple of weeks on crutches, a couple of months on crutches, I should say. 2 months, I think, and then a few months of rehab. He said to Dale Coyne that he planned to be back in the car at Sonoma, but Dale told him, no, we'll see you at St. Pete. We're going to give you the off season to rehab. Dale was a driver at the time, and he remembers the Gordon Smiley crash that claimed the life of Gordon Smiley in 73 at the Speedway. And if you do the side-by-side comparison, there's no difference between the two except for the fact that Sebastian Bourdais is alive and reasonably well and on the road to recovery today. And the Hamantro safety crew arrived on the scene after that incident 10 seconds after the car came to a stop.
Mm.
So they were literally there as the car was rolling to a stop. There are a beefed up side extrusion panels as a result of the incident that seriously injured James Hinchcliffe 2 years ago. There's the Hans device. There's a safer barrier and all of those things. So, you know, you credit the folks from Dallara, the folks at the University of Nebraska, for the safer barrier, the developer of the Hans device. Marshall Pruitt wrote an article about that in Racer Magazine, and all of those things combined, and luckily Sebastian Bourdais is still with us today, and for all intents and purposes is expected to make a full recovery and be back in the race car.
Yeah, I mean, that's great to see, and that was a very, very scary crash over in turn number two. The magical question before we let you go, if you had to put your good hard-earned money on anyone, or maybe a couple guys, we're not going to tie you down, who do you like?
I would say Dixon, Marco, and Fernando Alonso. None of those three would surprise me if they won it.
What would be the worldwide repercussions if Fernando Alonso won this race?
I think it'd make him want to come back and do it again and maybe bring a few more with him.
It could be fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And, of course, you got your work cut out for you. It's a labor of love, certainly, but the whole month of May in Indianapolis getting ready for this one broadcast is really, really tiring, I know, but you love to do it, I would imagine, correct?
Yeah, there's no question. It's a dream come true, and it as I say and all of us say it, it sure beats working for a living. There's no doubt about it.
Well, Mark, have fun. Have a great call, and we will see you in Newton coming up in a few weeks at Iowa Speedway with the Verizon IndyCar Series. And always a pleasure to talk with you.
Can't wait to be back there. I've convinced my mom and her husband to join us out there this year, so they're looking forward to seeing the race at Iowa Speedway.
Yep, that'll be a lot of fun. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
All right, take care.
3:32, Mark James. He is the voice of the Indianapolis 500. And you can catch it on Sunday morning beginning at 10 o'clock right here on KGYM. We'll give our picks coming up on Friday for that. We'll also have our topic coming up on Friday that we put off from last Friday because we had the breaking news about the settlement and the Jane Meyer and Tracy Griesbaum suit against the University of Iowa. And just to remind people what our topic was, Mark...
If you could exchange places with anyone in sports, who would it be?
Living. If you could exchange, it doesn't have to be anyone that's playing right now even.
No.
Somebody that's
Willie
retired.
Mays? Yeah.
There you go. Right there.
Hey, I want to ask you, I'm a novice at this racing stuff.
Yes.
Is it a big deal to go from Formula One to IndyCar racing? in terms of,
well, you know, not so much. Yes, going from one level to another level, there is some difference. Obviously, it's a lot more different going from, say, a NASCAR, what Kurt Busch did, mm-hmm. going to an Indy car. Less of a difference going from a Formula One car to an Indy car, because they're, in essence, both open wheel, both kind of the same situation there. There is some change. There is some difference, but not as much. And Fernando Alonso is a two-time world champion, world driving champion, so he knows what he's doing out there. And he qualified, was on the pole for a while, ended up in row number two, but it would be what he's doing, though. He's giving up the Grand Prix of Monaco, which is probably one of the top three races in the world. You got Indianapolis, I think, which is probably at the top, Daytona, and Monaco. Maybe Le Mans thrown in there as well, the 24 hours of Le Mans. But giving that up, now he's struggling this year, his team, over in Formula One. So he's not really losing anything. So the timing was great. And for him to come over like that, pretty unprecedented. First time it's happened since the early 90s when Nigel Mansell left his Formula One team and came over to race in America.
It'll be interesting to see how he does.
And Mansell was ahead with less than 10 laps to go on a restart, but kind of got suckered in a restart there. Ended up getting third place in 1993. So, and then crashed out in 94 when it wasn't his fault. But yeah, to answer your question in a long-winded way, yes and no. How's that?
That's fine.
Yeah. But it's fun. It's a great atmosphere, a great race, and they're expecting another huge crowd over there in Indianapolis for the race coming up on Sunday.
I should imagine. Not a big crowd in Bloomington, Indiana today, but Northwestern has sprung the first upset of the Big Ten baseball tournament, beating a number two-seeded Michigan 6-4. That final just in a bit ago. Minnesota, the number three seed, earlier defeated Indiana 5-4. So it'll be Minnesota and Northwestern in a winner's bracket coming up. Of course, double elimination. Michigan still has an opportunity to win this thing. But once you get in the loser's bracket right away, it makes it really difficult.
Yeah, and we talked with Cal Eldred about that very thing yesterday, and he echoed your sentiment. You got to make sure you win that first game. If you do that, then it makes life so much easier on you going through a tournament like that, because you go through the loser's bracket and you got to win more games, you got to go through a lot more pitching and et cetera, and it just kind of weighs on you after a while. So you win that first one and everything's okay, but tough guy they're going to have to beat tonight, the Big Ten pitcher of the year, they're going to have to get around. So we will see. We'll see how that plays out over in Bloomington, Indiana, coming up a little bit later on. All right, we'll take a break at 3:36. When we come back, we are going to talk to Chris Liss, rotowire.com. Your questions, fantasy baseball, if you have an early fantasy football question, Chris always loves to field those, and you can do so at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. Back with more after this.
I'm KFC's Extra Crispy Colonel, and you're the extra busy regular person who has to make dinner for a family of four. But you can shirk that responsibility because my Extra Crispy $20 fill-up from KFC contains 8 pieces of freshly double-breaded Extra Crispy Chicken, 4 biscuits, 2 orders of mashed potatoes, and a side of coleslaw for just $20. That'll feed them. KFC, it's extra crispy good.
Pricing and participation may vary. Tax and substitutions extra.
At Ferguson, service is our most important part. So if service is the part you're missing from your supply house, come into one of our 600 nationwide locations and let our team help yours. Whether it's tracking down those hard-to-find parts, having your order ready and waiting at our will call, or helping you manage your inventory with our SKU app and online ordering, the edge every trade professional needs is right around the corner. And with Ferguson Pro Plus, you'll earn redeemable points with every online purchase. Come into one of our locations or visit Ferguson.com today.
Yeah, my name is Andy Kite. I'm a project superintendent for Weitz Industrial, working here at the Rockwell Collins main plant. We've been doing some site improvements, new parking lot, landscape, They're re-siting the building. The job's been going on for, it's been phased. We started last fall, took a little break over the winter, and then we're back this spring. Plan to finish up sometime around the end of August. It's been a good job. Rockwell's a really great client to work for, and we're happy to be here with them.
Another edition of Lunchbox Heroes today as we are on the northeast side over at the Rockwell Collins main plant over on 35th Street over by the Elmcrest Country Club. We were right on Zach Johnson Drive today, Mark, weren't we?
Yeah, we were indeed, and got a chance to meet a lot of the workers. A lot of work going on around Rockwell, and we were able to greet some of them today and give them some great food from some of our sponsors and prizes and had some good conversation as well, so it was a good outing.
Yep, and it did not rain on us, so that was a good deal. And we were inside anyway under the pavilion over there at Kenwood Park. Big thanks to all our great sponsors of Lunchbox Heroes, and that includes Built by Pros, Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust, Chick-fil-A, Lindale, Acme Tools, Dr. Pepper, Mediacom, the Cedar Rapids Colonels, 7G Distributing, Star Equipment, Wild Hog Saloon in Walford, Red Wing Shoes, and Air Gas.
Two hosts born and raised in Eastern Iowa, talking Eastern Iowa sports. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on The Gym Class, KGYM.
Back with you on The Gym Class at 3:39. We've got a pair of golf rounds to a City of Cedar Rapids golf course, plus two sleeves of golf balls. We're going to be awarding that before 4 o'clock. And before 7 o'clock coming up tonight, your chance to pick up $100 of cold hard cash with the help of Toyota of Iowa City, our $100 a day in the month of May. We're doing it each weekday in the month of May, with the exception of next Monday, Memorial Day. And your chance before 7 o'clock to pick that up right here on KGYM. Chris List of RotoWire.com set to join us. You have a fantasy question for Chris, fantasy baseball, also fantasy football, maybe some early fantasy football questions. Go ahead and either send us a text via the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line or reach us via the phone lines at 319-366-1600 as Chris joins us here on Wednesday. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How about yourself, Scott?
We'd like to see some sunshine around Eastern Iowa. We haven't had it in about a week, but other than that, we're doing just fine.
Chris, do you have Anthony Rizzo on any of your teams?
I do not. I consciously avoided him this year. I felt like Price is a first-round guy, but he's really a second-round type of guy. He was really sort of a 3,100, 290 type of guy, and I preferred a lot of players in the first round over him.
Well, the reason I ask is that soon, depending on your league rules, Rizzo may qualify at second base.
I know. That would be a really nice bonus and kind of out of the blue. And, you know, you know, at least he's not a catcher. If you're a catcher, it'd be a little bit more
valuable.
And a lot of good second basemen around as far as Major League Baseball is concerned. If you have a question for Chris, let us know, 319-366-1600. I'm going to throw out Mark's guy, Irvin Santana. I don't want to jinx him or anything, Mark.
It's all right.
But nobody saw this coming down the line, I think. And great for him, former pitcher for the Cedar Rapids minor league baseball team here in town, and it's great to see him doing a good job for the Minnesota Twins.
Yeah, I mean, he's been doing, but it's a little bit unsustainable. His BABIP, and you guys know what batting average and balls in play is, that stands for, is 140. And, you know, we used to think it was pure luck. Like, you know, if you got a good BABIP, it was just because every bloop single was not dropping in and every line drive was right at somebody. But we've kind of discovered that the pitchers do control the BABIP a little bit, but never to a 140. Nobody can have a 140 BABIP, not even Clayton Kershaw. So he's been getting kind of lucky, and this is going to regress more of like a 3-something ERA.
That's Santana right there, and good to see him doing that. And some other guys that are doing – John Lester last night was terrific for the Chicago Cubs. And putting up the strikeouts, I think less than 100 pitches last night as well. So if you had him, you had a good night last night.
Yeah, Lester's been good. I actually was worried about him. His velocity is a little bit down. And I was worried about him and Arrieta, both having bad years. It turns out Arrieta is having a bad year, but Lester's been just fine. And Arrieta, there were more warning signs. Last year, I want to say he walked 90 guys last year, and that's way too much. So Arrieta is a little bit in trouble, and it's persisted into the season. But Lester looks like pretty much the same, even though the velocity is ever so slightly finished.
My Twins are going to soon face Tampa Bay in Minnesota, and I'm anxious to watch Corey Dickerson. Had a pretty good year last year, but really off to a good start this year. Is that a guy you like?
Well, shares of him. I didn't really see it coming. You know, once he left Coors Field, I kind of wrote him off. But he looks like he's hitting well, and he's a guy who is a talented prospect. I would think it's going to cool down, just like Ryan Zimmerman was killing it, you know, in the very beginning of the season. And you know, you have guys like Eric Thames was crushing it, who I still think is good. But I think Corey Dickerson will be fine. He'll maybe hit 25, 30 home runs. He'll bat 280, 290. But I wouldn't, but this is so out of character for him. I think it's going to cool down significantly.
Yeah. 319-366-1600 if you'd like to talk with Chris. And we had a trade with Adams going from St. Louis to Atlanta. Of course, Freddie Freeman out for a while anyway now for the Atlanta Braves. I think good if you have a Mark Adams on your fantasy team.
Yeah, he's been good, and that park really has been playing like a hitter's park. They had it's a new ballpark in Atlanta, and supposedly it was the exact same dimensions as Turner Field. So everyone thought, okay, it's kind of a slightly pitcher-friendly, slightly neutral park in the NL East. It's not a big deal. Well, for whatever reason, this park is playing as a very extreme. Freddie Freeman was one of the best hitters in the league before he got hurt. Matt Adams is not Freddie Freeman. He's not even close. But as a left-handed bat in that park, seeing, 10 or 12 home runs in the next 8-10 weeks while Freeman's out.
Jerry Ask Investment Services text line available to you, 319-366-1600. And questions for Chris List. Greg from Dubuque has a couple questions for you, Chris. Gorko or Story at shortstop? Carlos Gonzalez or Encarte in the outfield?
I'm going to go with both Rockies. I know that Jerko is having a good start, and Story's having a terrible start. But Story's coming back. It looks like he's healthy finally. And there's just too much of an advantage playing in that park. Coors Field adds points to your batting average when you're home. And Carlos Gonzalez just starting to heat up a little bit after a terrible start. I would go with both Rockies.
95-78, would Jose Berríos be a good pitcher to pick up?
Who's the Twins guy among you? You, Mark?
Yes, sir.
Well, what do you, I'm going to have you answer this question.
I'd have him on my team.
Yeah.
I would agree.
When he dominated the Rockies, he just got a win today, but when he dominated the Rockies, his last outing before this, Ian Desmond said he looked like Jose. So, high praise.
Yeah, 11 strikeouts in that game. 34-95. Does Rennie, and I know you may or may not have done a whole lot of research on the college players, but the question is, does running back Joe Mixon have fantasy value this year?
He should. I think the answer is yes. The thing is, they have two running backs there, but Gio Bernard's coming off an ACL tear, and we'll see what kind of shape he's in. He suffered that middle of the season, so he's going to come back, try to come back quickly. And then Jeremy Hill just had an awful year, and Jeremy Hill's not much of a year. So Mixon can do both. The offense should be pretty good, and I think he's going to have a chance to be a really good back. We'll see. There's a lot of play, but I do think that there's nobody really standing in his way if he plays well.
And, of course, how is he going to deal with the baggage? He's going to get it's not going to be easy for him on the field and off the field, certainly, in his first year as far as playing in the NFL is concerned. So he's got that to kind of deal with as well he should. 319-366-1600 here at 348. Fantasy baseball, even a couple fantasy football questions, if you'd like to throw them Chris Liss's way, who joins us. You're still in Portugal, right, Chris?
Yeah, you can tell by my connection. It's not as good as it should be. We got to get fixed, but it's my fault. But, yeah, I'm still in Portugal. I'm going to be back in L.A. on July 1st, but we're still here for now.
All right, very good. So we'll mark that day down, July 1st. It's back to America Day for Chris. When we talk about that, I've been reading about, and to deal with the NFL here, Pat Mahomes, the quarterback for the Chiefs. Not going to get in there. Please tell me my Chiefs aren't starting a soap opera, because Alex Smith is already saying that he is not going to be around after 2017 for the Chiefs. That would put a red flag up for me, even if you're thinking of maybe going after an Alex Smith, maybe as a second quarterback or something like that. I know he's not a frontline guy, but I think the red flag for me anyway went up when he made those comments.
Well, you know, he's traumatized because Kaepernick took his job in San Francisco, and they were just made it to the championship game, and Kaepernick took him to the Super Bowl and almost made the comeback and won. So he's already been displaced. And remember, he was the number one overall pick and kind of had injuries and took like 5 or 6 years for his career even to get started. So Alex Smith is traumatized, and now he's seeing a younger guy as a threat to his job. Proud Alex Smith is he has about the arm strength of Scott Unash. I mean, he literally does not get the ball down the field. And when you have Kelce and Macklin, and now Tyreek Hill, you know, you just like a guy with just a little bit more ability to stretch the field, and he just doesn't. And so I think it just severely limits the Chiefs' upside as an offense, and the team's pretty well coached, and it's got a good D usually, but it just can never hang with a really good team.
It's a small sample size so far, but your thoughts on Ian Happ going forward, and not only this year, but the years to come?
Yeah, he looks like he's for real. He was a good prospect, and they were hitting him cleanup, which shows you that, you know, they thought he was ready. And it's one of those things that when a prospect gets the chance through injuries or people being out for whatever reason, if they hit, they don't go back down. You know, it's up to them. Nobody can say of a real prospect. When Trout came up, you know, in 2012, the Angels had no room for him. But, of course, he started hitting him, and they had to make room for him. So they cleared the way for themselves, and you know, he could go into a slump, there's no doubt, but I think there's a good chance that it happens here for good.
Yeah. A couple more minutes here with Chris at 351. If you have a question, get it in right now at 319-366-1600, whether it deals with baseball or football, and Chris will answer it here. You got to be starting to think about working on the football magazine, right?
Oh, we're deep into it. I've already done all the projections. I have written my articles about it. I've written up the wide receivers. I can tell you who my sleepers are. I love John Brown in St. Louis, in Arizona. It's a long time since they've moved from St. Louis. I love John Brown. I think that he had a problem that he had this horrible fatigue and it ruined the season, and they found a cyst on his spine in the offseason. It took it out, and ever since they removed it, he's felt like himself. He's been working out full bore, you know, like he's normally his normal offseason preparation. Michael Floyd is gone. Larry Fitzgerald is 34 years old. They don't really have a tight end they throw to. I think John Brown has a huge season. The other guy I really like, Devontae Parker. Adam Gates said this guy looks like a different player in the OTAs and in the spring practices, and he thinks he's going to have a huge year. Remember, this is the 14th overall pick. 2 years ago, he showed flashes. But I think Devontae Parker could also have a very big year.
There you go. So it'll be here before you know it. And get rotowire.com's fantasy football guide. It is terrific out there. Chris, we will talk to you in a couple weeks. Thank you for all the information, and we will talk to you soon.
Thanks, Scott. Appreciate it. Take care.
352 here on the Gym Class program on KGYM. Chris Liss joining us every other Wednesday throughout the summer. And again, we apologize for that, but Chris is in Portugal, and he's got he had a bad connection today, he said. So, and you know, why put in a service call because he's leaving in a month, and I don't know what it's like in Portugal to bring people in. So, hope you got all that. here at 3:53. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back, and we will get to it. Mark Dukes is final Dancing with the Stars update. That's coming up next here in KGYM. But as we go to a break, going to give you an opportunity right now. Kyle Mann standing by, ready to take the information of caller number 6, who is going to pick up a pair of golf rounds from the City of Cedar Rapids golf courses, either Twin Pines, Ellis, Gardner, or Jones. You also get a couple sleeves of golf balls to go with that. 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. Caller number 6, you are going to pick that up.
On the job site, when you need it, you need it. Lost minutes mean lost dollars. And let's be honest, you're not in this line of work for the scenery. Let Star Equipment back you up. Star Equipment's been raising the bar on construction equipment and supplies for just shy of 50 years now. They sell and can deliver top-flight equipment so you can keep the clock and the money ticking. Star Equipment. Iowa born in 1968. StarEquip.com.
You know that old saying, time is money? Well, that couldn't be truer when it comes to real estate these days. Doug McAllister at Pinnacle Realty knows all about timing and how that affects how much you sell your home for. If you tried to sell it a while back and couldn't get your price, let Doug McAllister and Pinnacle give it another try. The time has never been better than right now to get your price. Doug McAllister has his own menu-driven system to sell your home fast and for more. Just go to soldincr.com to learn more. That's soldincr.com. Time is wasting.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com salutes the employee of the month. The one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
What are you doing, Dave? We need help with payroll.
I'm doing squats, Mr. Employee of the Month. I'm taking your advice and I'm working my butt off.
That's not what I meant.
Glutes of steel. Feel them. Right here.
Oh, Dave, now I have to call HR.
We believe local businesses should be packed with more local employees of the month and fewer Daves. We make it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
The Gym Class in the Gym. KGYM. Eastern Iowa Sports Talk Radio.
Back with you for our final installment of what has taken over America. Mark Dukes is... forced to watch Dancing with the Stars update. Mark, we will miss this.
I will not. Now, I'm happy to bring it to you folks. I know it's been in high demand throughout this season.
By the way, Alex, our winner of our golf passes.
Excellent. I felt like last night's episode was a...
not our Alex.
Green white checker at one of the racetracks for like 4 or 5 times because it lasted 2.5 hours to announce the winners. And the winner is Rashad Jennings, former NFL running back. I know he hopes to catch on with the team this year, but he outlasted our favorite David Ross. David Ross placing second.
Your pick finished third.
Normani Cordae, the pop singer, very good. She's very good. She should have won it. But didn't. Rashad Jennings was excellent as well. So there you have it, another season of Dancing with the Stars. And
Rashad Jennings is going to get picked up by a team now.
You would think.
There is no doubt he's going to get picked up
David
by
Ross
a team.
David Ross will not.
No, David's got his gig. He's going to be on ESPN calling baseball. So he's fine. He's got his retirement years made. Rashad Jennings, not so much.
Not so much.
But I think this is going to be a big help for him.
By the way, official welcome to Kyle Mann. I know the guys, Alex and Todd, made it official on the Todd Brommelkamp show yesterday. But Kyle's been with us as associate producer, and you've hired him as a full-time producer for this show and the TB show, and looking forward to working with Kyle.
Yep, and congratulations going out to him. Speaking of the Todd Brommelkamp show, they're going to be down in Iowa City coming up this Friday to kick off Memorial Day weekend. It's KGYM Road Trip presented by Linder Tire. Linder Tire keeps you rolling during all your road trips this summer. Visit LinderTire.com for great tire and service specials. And they will be down there coming up on Friday. We got a topic coming up on Friday as well. And again, that deals with... who would you trade places with in the world of sports? Living.
Mm-hmm.
Could be retired, could still be playing, whatever the case may be. So that will be coming up on the Friday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. We have the Emil's Hideaway poll before we depart here today. Do you favor the NFL rule changes? Mm-hmm. Celebrations, yes. Overtime, no. Overtime, yes. Celebrations, no. Yes to both, no to both. And right now, Celebrations, yes. Overtime, no is leading. And stay tuned. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming up next. John Cranton joins us coming up on the Thursday edition of the show tomorrow.
Hi, this is Lori Grenier. You've seen me on Shark Tank. If you're an entrepreneur, you have better things to do than reapply for funding every time you need capital. With Cabbage, you can be approved for a line of credit of up to $150,000, not just a one-time loan. Withdraw from your line anytime you